What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 150, and today we're going to be talking about curing heartburn naturally. So heartburn is pretty prevalent nowadays. Everyone's seeing commercials for Prilosec. I think if you go look in your medicine cabinet now, most people have Tums in their medicine cabinet for heartburn, indigestion, stuff like that. So it happens to all of us, and I initially read a book about stomach acid years ago. And it mentioned, you know, natural remedies for heartburn. And I've just never did a podcast on it just because it kind of, just got put on the back burner over and over again. But heartburn has come up a lot recently with a few people. So I thought now might be a good time to actually have a podcast on it. And this is just classic, just to touch on it real quick, Tom, how the current just healthcare system is all about treating symptoms, but no one is talking about actually curing conditions.
Yeah, so basically all we're trying to do is just throw a band-aid on a problem instead of actually addressing the root cause. And that's what GERD is. That's what heartburn really is it's just we're, instead of trying to produce more stomach acid, we're trying to reduce it. But that stomach acid is there for a reason, and trying to reduce the amount of stomach acid in our body is going to result in a lot of like negative effects that we'll get into later today.
Yeah, exactly. And honestly, I mentioned heart disease earlier. The most common treatment for heart disease is a doctor will put you on a statin, which stops your body from producing cholesterol, which makes no sense. If our body wasn't supposed to handle cholesterol, you know what? It wouldn't produce it. And it's the same thing with stomach acid. If stomach acid was this dangerous and causing so much harm in our body would not produce it. But that's not the case. Like, it is metabolically expensive to produce stomach acid. So it's there for a reason. So to completely remove it is just, it makes no sense. But the most like common treatment for heartburn these days is, it just revolves around the acid suppression theory, which goes something like this. So too much stomach acid eventually overflows into the esophagus and causes pain and discomfort, called heartburn, and eventually, if not treated, it'll lead to GERD, which is gastroesophageal reflux disease. And it's all based on the idea that there's too much acid in their stomach. And this theory, like a lot of theories in the world of nutrition, is wrong. The production of stomach acid is based on hormones. So I just want you to think, name a hormone that goes up as we age. Name a hormone that our body produces more of, that our body becomes magically more efficient at creating as we age. Testosterone? No. Estrogen? No. Growth hormone? No. Can you think of any hormone that our body makes more of as we age?
I don't know, maybe cortisol, insulin. Insulin keeps going up.
Yeah, I guess if you eat like shit the rest of your life, insulin maybe. But in general, our body gets worse at producing hormones as we age, not better. But somehow the people with the most acid in their stomach, which are kids and young adults, experience no heartburn at all. But the people with the least amount of acid in their stomachs experience the most heartburn, which is the elderly. Yet we still blame heartburn on too much acid. How in the world does that make sense? It makes zero sense.
Yeah, I mean, just correlation doesn't prove causation, but if there's no correlation, then that means there's no causation.
Yeah.
And that just shows it right there. There's no correlation between those two things. So you know there's no causation there.
And we're still blaming it. It's just, yeah, it's crazy. And the thing with this that makes it even more crazy, more baffling to me, is that we can actually measure stomach acid. So people with chronic heartburn often have their stomach and esophagus is x-rayed, and they can even put like a scope in their stomach and literally measure the amount of acid that's in their stomach. And the overwhelming majority of heartburn sufferers are found to have too little stomach acid production, not enough. Heartburn almost never signals too much acid, and it often is associated with too little. This has been proven time and time again. And it's not like it's that hard to prove. Like I said, we can literally put a camera in your stomach and measure the amount of acid you produce. If people suffering heartburn produce a ton of acid, we know. And just like I said earlier, like another bogus theory that has shaped our dietary recommendations over the years is the diet heart hypothesis. And this blames LDL and dietary cholesterol and heart attacks, which is complete BS. We've done, I think, 50 podcasts talking about it at this time. It's not true. But at least in its defense, heart disease is a little complicated. And it has a lot of mechanisms working together to create a perfect storm resulting in a heart attack. Heartburn and this theory, it just has one moving part, stomach acid. And like I said, as we age, we produce less and less acid. So how is it possible that too much acid leads to heartburn, when the people producing the most acid, young adults, rarely suffer any heartburn, and the people producing the least, the elderly, suffered heartburn at the highest rates? Again, it just makes no sense logically or biologically. But when you look at it from a money-making standpoint, it makes perfect sense. Big Pharma has a set of drugs that can treat the symptoms of heartburn, but not actually cure it. And you'll notice in the ads for these heartburn medications, they're pretty clever with what they claim. They never claim to cure heartburn because they can't, since decreasing someone's stomach acid when it's already low won't obviously fix the condition. But they claim to manage the symptoms, which they actually can do. So doctors will put you on these drugs for the rest of your life, only treating the symptoms, not treating the actual condition. And really, this wouldn't be the biggest deal if a low stomach acid or taking these drugs had no adverse effects, but that's wrong. There are side effects to having low stomach acid and to taking these drugs. A scary symptom of Tums, which I don't think anyone ever heard about, is something, well, you're like antacid, that type of stuff. The symptom is called milk alkali syndrome, and this leads to excess calcium in the blood, elevated blood pH, and kidney failure. So weigh out the pros and cons the next time you reach for those Tums. Did you know about that? Like, Tums people think are just so benign, they pop them like candy, but this actually can cause harm.
Yeah, I didn't really know that. I just thought it would just be like a malabsorption issue. I didn't know it had anything to do. I didn't know it had that effect on your blood pH.
Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, you'd have to be taking a shit ton of Tums or a shit ton of Tums. But we know people out there, they do it every night. They have a little bit of heartburn, they tip pop Tums. It's just very common. And some of the other drugs that Big Pharma has created is acid production blockers like Pepcid and Xantac. So I'm sure you've seen commercials for those. That blocks our body's ability to make acid. And then you also have something called PPIs, which are the strongest ones out there, proton pump inhibitors. And these can actually prevent 95% of all stomach acid production all day. Prilosec is like the biggest one out there. And both of these drugs lead to low stomach acid all day long. And like I said, that would be, I mean, if that has no consequences, so be it. You know, if it gives you some relief, but chronic low stomach acid leads to maldigestion, malabsorption, and malnutrition, which can obviously lead to numerous negative health outcomes. And that's something people don't think about. They don't understand that our stomach is designed to be acidic for a reason.
Yeah, if we don't have enough stomach acid, we can't absorb B12 very well. Like, if we don't have enough stomach acid, we're not breaking down proteins into their amino acids. So now, even if we are on an adequate protein diet, we're not absorbing enough protein. So now we're having, you know, protein issues, and protein's responsible for everything in our body. Like, protein has so many uses. So that's another issue. B12, that, and just like autoimmune diseases. Autoimmune diseases come from us not digesting our food properly, especially those proteins. And then if you even think about it even further, stomach acid also damages pathogens that are in our food.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing. So now you can get sick from not being able to properly digest your food and having that acid destroy those pathogens.
Yep, exactly. Like our stomach, people don't think about it. That's our first defense for the outside world.
We get sick from breathing in pathogens and eating pathogens. Those are the two primary reasons, or two primary ways that pathogens get into our body, either breathing or eating. And if we're not able to have that strong defense in our stomach, we're just leaving our defenses open.
And we all know nowadays, like, our body's exposed to enough pathogens as it is. Like, we want our stomach acid to be as bulletproof as possible. So we want it to be as low as possible. Having stomach acid be in the 3, 4, 5 range is very, very dangerous. Like, you're not going to, I can't even list, like, we can't list all the conditions that are going to be linked to malabsorption and malnutrition because, it, like Tom said, it's everything. Vitamins and minerals are involved in every enzyme. Proteins involved in basically everything. But it's a huge problem. And it's one of the reasons why I recommend stomach acid pills to a lot of people, especially if you're at a compromised stage in your life, either you're sick or you're old, whatever it may be. If you're going to eat a lot of protein, you better have a stomach acid to support the digestion. Because if not, it's just going to hit your small intestines intact. And eventually, it's just going to be fermenting in your gut. It's going to lead to gas. It's going to lead to indigestion. It's just not going to be utilized properly. So if you're going to have a high protein diet, which honestly, everybody on earth should, we need it to survive and be healthy. You need to have adequate stomach acid in line because it's that important to actually digest it.
Yeah, and even if you're not on a high protein diet, let's say you're on a low protein diet, you need to absorb all that protein you can, because yeah, if you're not consuming a lot, like, then you can't afford to not be absorbing it.
Yeah, exactly. So what's really going on? It's not too much acid. It's acid in the wrong place that causes a condition. Even a small amount of acid in the wrong place is going to cause problems. This isn't a condition of acid. It's a condition of a specific muscle, the lower esophageal sphincter. This is a valve at the end of the esophagus that opens to allow food through to our stomach and closes to block food and acid to go back up into our esophagus. This entire podcast, it honestly reminds me a lot of the current diabetes treatment. We are told it's a disease of too much glucose because we can treat that with available medicine, when in all actuality, it's a disease of too much insulin. But big pharmaceuticals, they can't make money off that, so it's not talked about. And again, they're just treating the symptoms, they're not treating the disease. And that's the same thing that's going on with heartburn. When this valve, the lower esophageal sphincter, opens, when it's not supposed to, we get heartburn. It doesn't matter how much acid is actually in the stomach. If the lower esophageal sphincter stays closed, we won't get heartburn. So curing a disease means removing the reason we developed it in the first place, not just suppressing the symptoms. So we are going to replace something that is missing to cure heartburn. To get your lower esophageal sphincter to work properly, you have to slowly start adding in acid to your diet. So literally the exact opposite of what is recommended today. And this can be done a few different ways, but the methods I found to work best are HCL pills, so just the hydrochloric acid that's in our stomach, pills, or taking vinegar with meals. You can find HCL pills online or in stores pretty easily, and they're not that expensive. And you start taking them slowly, so one at a time, and you slowly increase your dosage until your symptoms subside. And if you're going to go the vinegar route, so taking a spoonful of vinegar before a meal is another way to make your stomach more acidic, helping digest your meal quicker and keeping your lower esophageal sphincter closed while digesting the way it's supposed to. So to sum it up, heartburn starts when our stomach acid starts to drop. Something that happens as we age is just natural. So to fix it, we just replace our decreased capacity to produce stomach acid with an outside source. It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, and a couple other things you can do. I mean, this is like a very, very simple one, is make sure you're chewing your food. So you're breaking down your food mechanically in your mouth before, so it's like your stomach acid doesn't have to work as hard. A couple other things would be, you know, choosing ground beef over steak, because ground beef, it's already broken up, so it's a little bit easier for your stomach acid to break down versus a steak. Also, you can do like smaller meals kind of spread out throughout the day, so your stomach acid doesn't have to work that hard at one time. So, you know, if you are suffering from heartburn and you're doing one meal a day, maybe you should do 2 or 3 meals a day instead until your body can adapt to that. So those are just kind of a few like simple things you can do, still having the same diet, still eating the same way, but, you know, just to kind of give your stomach a little bit of a break.
Yeah, and something actually you've recommended as well is not drinking until you're done with your meal.
Oh, yeah, I don't even know why I didn't think of that. That's, that's such an easy one.
Yeah, because, I mean, you might not think about it, but I don't care what you're drinking, beer, milk, water, it's going to dilute the stomach acid even more. So if you're already compromised in that position, just drink water when you're done with your food.
Yeah, especially if you're drinking that alkaline water or mineral-rich water. Mineral water generally is more alkaline. So yeah, that's just gonna reduce, kind of dilute your stomach acid, which is not something you want around mealtime.
No, not at all. And there is another method that is a little more obtuse, and you'll never see it recommended by a doctor or even online anywhere. But something I've considered is supplementing with creatine. I think is very important for a lot of reasons. Obviously, if you're working out, you're trying to get bigger, stronger, faster, creatine's beneficial. But creatine's involved in any high energy system. So our brain, our gut, our stomach, creating actually acid in our stomach is a high energy process. It takes a lot of ATP. And in those systems, our body relies on creatine to transfer phosphates to their appropriate locations. So supplementing with creatine can also help with digestion, which is something people don't actually consider, but I do think it's a very cheap and effective supplement that can aid in digesting your food as well.
Hey, I did not know that, but I mean, it makes total sense.
Yeah, it does. It makes total sense. Yeah. So there's just those are just a few things you can do. You can, like I said, you can find HCL pills on Amazon easy. You can find creatine on Amazon easy. And if you don't want to buy anything, don't drink while you're eating food. Make sure you chew properly, and that'll also help with digestion. And definitely, if you listen to me at all, don't take PPIs, don't rely on Tums, don't take antacids. It's just not worth it. You're only treating the symptoms. You're actually causing more harm than good. And you're honestly just supporting the system that's keeping all of us sick and not curing a problem that actually can be cured. And this cure is actually pretty easy.
Yeah, and since you're not like actually addressing the root cause, like the situation's only getting worse and you're just increasing your dependency on those pills.
Yep. Like that cycle is never ending. You will always be on that medication. You will always be a customer to Big Pharma. And I mean, honestly, that's the end goal. That's what they want, but we can't give it to them. You know, most of America is obviously on two or three different prescriptions. Don't get on that train. You don't want to, because once you're on it, it's real hard to get off.
Yeah, they're trying, like, their goal is to create lifelong customers. And that's what they're going to do if you're on a PPI or just even like a normal over-the-counter antacid. Like, now your body is never going to be producing enough stomach acid. And anytime you eat like a meal with a lot of fat or a meal with a lot of protein in it, you're always going to be suffering the consequences.
Yep. And honestly, it promotes the narrative that actually meat is bad. 'Cause now when you have that steak, like, oh, I don't feel good after steak. I just can't digest it. And you blame the steak for what actually the medicine's causing to happen. You know what I mean? But yeah, so that's another podcast in the books. You can find everything on TNT Wellness and Nutrition.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. So feel free to reach out anytime.
Yeah, please rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast provider. That's Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and YouTube. Hope everybody has a happy and healthy week.